Hello, and you're very welcome to a very special Facebook Live here on balls.ie with thanks to Centra, official sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship, hashtag We Are Hurling. I'm delighted to be joined by two All-Ireland winners, Dottie Regan of Offaly, Brendan Bugler of Clare, as Limerick are All-Ireland champions for the first time since 1973, 316 to 218 win over Galway in Croke Park. Just not over an hour ago now, lads. That was a strange match, wasn't it,
Dottie? Well, it was, it was stop-start the second half, but I really enjoyed the first half. I loved the strategies that were involved, and I just thought Limerick were playing ducks and drakes with Galway, to be honest with you. They nailed the Galway puck out. They were forcing Galway to hit it short, and then they were just coming up into their face, meeting the first runner. If the ball was offloaded, then they were coming in twos and threes at the half-back line, forcing long clearances, then they were picking it up. They had five wides after 4 minutes, Limerick, Settlers, and still, you know, they were never inhibited by nature of the fact it was their first All-Ireland. They were strategically way more on the money than Galway. Hannon got 2 points, and Joe Canning was 4 yards behind him, coming after him. Casey was destroying Jonathan Glynn, and that was highlighted as a key battle. Mm. But the physicality he went at Glynn, it was ruthless, raw ruthlessness under the dropping ball, and Glynn was putting the hands out, kind of looking to the referee, you know, no place for that in an All-Ireland final. Limerick were like hounds, Richie English, you know, Dermot Burns was mopping up right half back there as well. The ball inside to the forward line was superb, and they conceivably and arguably could have been a lot more than the 4 points up at half time. And it wasn't a case to me anyway at that stage that, oh, Galway are going to come back. Mm. I never felt that, you know, Galway are going to get their run. I just thought, this is the way I thought Limerick were going to hurl, and it's actually going as well as it could be expected for them. And I actually didn't see that level of performance even dropping in the second half, which made the finish even more extraordinary out of nowhere.
Yeah, you meant, look, remember there was a ball in the first half where Joe was just a little pass waiting for it to come, and Hannon just came in from behind and just cleaned it up, and you're thinking, like, this is a team that's just on a different level here, like, yeah. You know? How do Galway only lose by a point then in the end of it?
Like? Yeah, like, it's as Dahi just said there, it's one of the most extraordinary All-Ireland finals that I've seen in the last couple of years. You know, if Limerick have won in All-Ireland, you know, with a conversion rate of 51%. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure if Paul Kinnock before the game or John Coyley, if they were saying, lads, what our conversion rate, what's it going to have to be? They'd be looking at 75%, 80%. Limerick were the team that were totally in control right up until injury time. They looked the team that weren't nervous. Galway were the team that came out, and at the start of the first half, they were the team with all the jitters. As well, at the start of the second half, they were the team with all the jitters. Limerick, just as Dahi said, they just smashed them right from the very first minute. And, you know, bar the phenomenal, you know, wides they hit, they could have been a lot more up and should have been a lot more up. Mm. But you have to give credit to Galway the way they came back and nearly snatched a draw at the end.
Yes, they will. We should talk. We'll talk about Galway and, like, you know, their kind of defence of the All Ireland in a couple of minutes. But just Limerick, like, if we look at the, you know, where they've come from in such a short period of time, you're talking about the Munster Championship when the draw is even made, or when we knew that it was going to the round robin. You're talking like, geez, there's three top teams there, and it's like, could Clare get into it? And you're like, who knows what we'll get from Limerick? And then even as the league goes on, then they have this brilliant league. And you know, things had changed by the time it starts, but then they go and beat Tip, and you're like, Jesus, they're for real, you know? That all happened in no time at all. And I know we're talking about two All-Ireland under-21 champion teams, I suppose, so it's not, like, that big a surprise. But, like, for them to come in their first year at it, not too far off what, like, you know, you guys did in 2013, it's just a phenomenal achievement to go through such an incredibly busy year and stay at that level the entire way through, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They have been the form team, along with Galway. Clare then came as well, and Cork were there as well. But, you know, Limerick had a real, real good league, and, you know, nearly lost out to Clare after that shootout, I suppose, that free-taking shootout. But they had a real good... Or they beat Clare, sorry. They beat Clare. They lost out to Tip by only a point or two. Like, you know, they had a great game. Then the championship, you know, they blew the championship wide open, right, you know, on day one by beating Tipperary, you know, and they just seem to maintain that form, you know, all through. And the only, I suppose, downside to their year was inside in Cusey Park, you know, when they played Clare. They were on their third week, you know, they were out on their feet, and, you know, Cusey Park was always going to be a tough place to go to. But, you know, they came back, they regrouped, and now they're all Ireland champions after three brilliant displays.
It's fantastic. Like
it wasn't win all either. That game in Ennis wasn't win all.
No, it wasn't
for Limerick. But I think what needs to be remembered about this as well is people reviewed Limerick and Galway coming in because they were the two protagonists today. But like, Clare are so close to this equation. And that particular day, Clare were really, really good. And a lot of people looked at the All-Ireland semi-final between Galway and Clare. And many people who predicted Galway at the start of the year started to change their mind over the last couple, myself included. And we started to think, why are we changing our mind about Galway when we were so sure about them for so long? And it was, well, look what Clare asked of them. And look at the question marks that Clare posed of them. And then you started to think, well, hold on, that's not fair on Clare. Clare asked those questions because Clare were good.
Yeah.
So then to me, it was a case of, Galway actually aren't that far ahead. Mm. As far ahead as we thought that they were. They were probably a little bit better than everybody else. But when they got to Clare and they got to Limerick in the final, there was so little between them that the surety wasn't there about Galway. And I think that's why a lot of people started to say, this isn't as certain as we kind of thought it was going to be.
It's an interesting question, though, is that were Galway as far ahead as everybody says they were? Because, like, I mean, Wexford didn't show up in the Leinster Championship match. By the time they played Dublin, they were already through. It didn't matter for either team. The only game that they really had there where they really stood up and you know, did what they had to do was the round robin game against Kilkenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Then their poor against Kilkenny in the first Leinster final. Their big performance of the year is the replay.
For long periods,
all of it. And where at Kilkenny. You know, we see what happened to them later on in the year. They're not good, like in the two semi-finals. Mm. You know, they do enough. They have great spells. And then today, we were anointing Galway very early this year.
Yeah. To me, they look like a team that, and it happens when you win an All-Ireland, they look like a team that weren't as fit or weren't as clinical as they were last year. You know, last year, their point average was a lot more than this year. This year, like in the final, they only scored 10 points from play. You know, 10 points Galway, like if, what was it last year they scored? I can't remember now at this stage, but they were just an awful lot more clinical. And I suppose you can look at a performance like Conor Cooney's performance. Last year, every one of those shots that he was hitting, they were going over the bar. This year, you know, he had 4 points, you know, four wides today, which last year they would have been 4 points. They just weren't clinical. They couldn't get to the level that they were at last year. And, you know, as Dahi just said there, there was cliques after the Clare game. And I was the same. I was asked as well, who'll win the All-Ireland after the Clare game? And I would have said before the Clare game, Galway, hands down. But I said, you know, I've seen a vulnerability here with Galway that we hadn't seen, you know, and I give Limerick a fair chance. But then, in the last week or two, I was just thinking, okay, there's a lot of these guys, they're playing their fifth All-Ireland. I think the day they'll have a lot more experience than Limerick. And I also question mark the Limerick's full back line. Would they be able to cope with, you know, the physicality of Johnny Glynn or Conor Cooney inside there, but by God, today the answer had in buckets.
Absolutely. Totally. You know? You make a good point there, Brendan, about Galway's period of time on the road and what it takes from them. And if you look at where they were last year, to the level where they were last year, they tried some zonal marking today for the puckouts that Limerick were attempting. Limerick at times, their three half forward lines are often happy to play a straight line. And as the ball has been struck, sometimes they'll even go all to one side of the field. So Aidan Hart and Mannion at one stage were telling Garoge McInerney not to follow Kyle Hayes if he was moving. Mm. So they decided to hold their positions. And as the Limerick fella was moving in the direction, I was watching the Galway wing backs. And instead of sprinting to them, they were making their way to them. Yet their other end of the field, when I was watching the same scenario happen with Burns and Morrissey, when they went zonal and were happy to watch, you know, the Galway midfielders coming onto them, they were sprinting at them to make sure they were getting in to get the block. And I just thought to myself, that's the insatiable appetite that you have when you haven't won an All-Ireland final. Galway had that last year. Yeah. And, you know, if it's 2% off, it's enough.
But, Dahi, like that, you could see Paul Kinnock's stamp all over the way the Limerick forwards were playing today. You know, and his philosophy is possession, keeping possession and creating space. And he more or less works with midfielders and half-forwards. And you could see it. You just made a point there, you know, the way the half-forwards were coming in. Seamus Flanagan was making a run out to the wings, getting possession from the puckouts rather than just hoping, I suppose, they'd win a break off a 50-50 ball. It had Paul Kinnock's stamp all over. Yeah. But you can't beat work rate. And the work rate from the Limerick forwards today, the amount of turnovers, the goals the Galway got, or the goals that Limerick got in the second half, were created from intensity, work rate, turnover after turnover. And it just paid dividends. And there are his three mantras, you know, possession, creating space, and phenomenal work rate. And you could see that in abundance.
And you mentioned Conor Clare, and I think he's one of two names, and like we should talk about John Coyley, absolutely, and we'll do it in a minute, but one of two names in the backroom team that are important for what we're talking about here is Conor and Caroline Curd as well, psychologist. Because if you look at their attitude after they beat Cork, it's like, we're not talking about history, we're here to make history, we're not there for the parade, as Shane Dowling said. And they came out there and they were the ones who started. You're talking about Galway's five All-Irelands. Limerick were ready for that. They weren't rabbit in the headlights in any way, you know. And then you've got such a detailed game plan from a coach like Conor. You almost don't have time to be worried about the big occasion because you have to do so much, you know. Like, so between the two of them,
you can throw in Alan Cunningham there as well.
Yeah,
another guy that Conor brought in. Yeah, very, very smart, very astute guy. Yeah,
like when you have the ball in your hand, you're in charge, you're in possession. But the movement and the speed of movement from Limerick, every time you initiate a sprint, you've got half a yard on the guy that's on you, okay? And he's got to react and he's got to follow you. And then as the game develops and tiredness creeps in, you keep initiating those runs, and off camera, there's so many runs going on that eventually I get a defender who's going, I ain't following him this time because he's done four of them and nothing is coming. And the ball is swept over that side.
How many balls were hit down on top of Flanagan and Dyburg?
Not one.
50-50 ball.
Not one. Yeah, now, it's interesting, really interesting. Clare and Limerick, they're not dissimilar, but they have one key component that's different. Clare play a guy on the edge of the square, and they like to go direct, and he's a brilliant player. But against Galway, they played a style of hurling that suited Dathy Burke more than any other type of ball coming in on top of him. Today, and we were chatting about this light and saying last night, you know what, Flanagan is going to do anything bar, and Limerick are going to do anything bar, play it down on top of him. But the movement of Flanagan off the ball,
as a
ball was being struck, he was left and right, all the puck outs are preordained.
Yeah.
Everything is preordained from where the keeper stands, what side guys move, and then in a split second it's been drilled into space, and at times it was bouncing and Limerick guys were coming 2 or 3 yards. That came from a run a split second earlier that happened 30 metres away. The sprint began and they were getting to it ahead of the Galway, and they discommoded the Galway defence completely. And when you have big strong men like Galway, you turn them and you run them back. You turn them and you bring them out. You turn them and you run them back. And no defender, and Brendan will tell you, the last thing a halfback wants to do is be turned sprinting back towards his own goals. And they effectively just dismember that Galway halfback line today.
But Limerick would have looked at as well, right? They would have looked at the first day Clare played Galway and the second half in particular, right? John Conlon was getting nothing when it was 50-50 in the first half. But if you look at his 4 points he got, he got the ball out the side and turned
perfect
it
for him.
And it worked an absolute treat. They looked at that and they played to their strengths, and that's why they're learning champions.
Yeah, Flanagan had so many possessions. Yeah. I'd love to get the number on it. We might get a little bit later on. If you look at the Limerick team, and it's so built on those kind of under 21 teams, there's hardly anyone, like especially in the starting team, surviving from the 13, 14 teams that were so good. But like two of them who did, Declan Hannan and Graham Mulcahy, had huge games today. And I know like Mulcahy got the goal and we'll talk about that, but for me, when things were getting away from Limerick at the end of the game and they might have just been losing it a little bit, that point by Mulcahy, you know, obviously it is the winning point, so it's an easy thing to talk about, but it was such a massive moment, like, because they just needed just anybody just put the ball over the bar. They were just the heads were gone almost.
I'd say he is absolutely thrilled that Conor is there, because 2, 3, and 4 years ago, Graham Mulcahy was first man off the whole time.
He was,
and they were playing a brand of hurling which effectively didn't suit him. They're now playing a brand of hurling which, he had one stage in the first half, a ball was hit into the corner, he'd made a run one way, and it was hit diagonally from the canal inside down to the Davin Hogan corner, and Hanbury had 2 yards on him, Mulcahy had made his run the wrong way. He stopped his run, he arced and he turned, and in the space of 20 metres, he got 2 metres ahead of him, he picked it up, he won it. They didn't get a score, and you're thinking, he has him for speed, you know. But they play a brand of hurling that he loves.
Yeah.
It's all into space for him.
But
it's
the Limerick of old, number 15, if he wasn't getting on the ball, would have stayed in number 15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when he's not getting on the ball, he was going to the half forward line. Yeah. He was looking, he was demanding to get on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, that's
really
good.
He's a different player.
He's not a different player.
He's the same player. But he's a player that's playing with great confidence.
Yeah.
And he knows that the game suits him. And he knows that the likes of Conor, and you would know this better than anyone, Brendan. But to me, looking from the outside, you know, just this man, and you're saying, like you, fingerprints are all over this thing. And I'm sure he's a guy that speaks individually to players about their game, about the expectation level. And Mulcahy is flourishing.
He did a great job. I was having a chat there last night with a couple of mates, and we're just picking the All-Star team.
Yeah.
And when it came to the full forward line, like, we had Mulcahy in, he was out. Yeah, but by God, after today, and after
he's
that,
in after he was today,
you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be some job to pick that full forward line. Like.
We might. I don't know if we'll get to the team of the year today, because I think we'll run out of time and too many arguments. But from Galway's point of view, then, like, I look at the program here in front of us all, and you know the notes you're taking. You know, like, Joe played very well in the last 20, 30 minutes of the game, but did anybody have a good 70 minutes by their standards?
I think they did. To me, going into the game, Páraic Mannion was probably Hurler of the Year.
Yeah.
And to me, he still is Hurler of the Year. I would still probably give it to him. I thought he had a fine game. Other than that, like, we were just chatting beforehand. If you look at the forward unit in Galway, Jonathan Glynn, Cathal Mannion, Conor Cooney, and up until near the end with Whelan's goal, they hadn't scored.
None of the four of them had scored.
You know, you had 3 points from David Burke, 3 from Joseph Cooney, and 1 from Mannion himself, and Joe got 3 from play, and the rest freeze, and the goal. It's not good enough of a return. You know, they'll be going home today, and they'll just be thinking, you know, we didn't show up. You know, we showed great character, led by Joe, and in fairness to him, not having the greatest first half he's ever had, he showed massive character and basically nearly single-handedly, you know, along with, in my opinion, Aidan Hart and Páraic Mannion, dragged Galway back into it and was just unlucky. Look at if Galway had got the draw, all the headlines tomorrow would have been canny.
Yeah.
You know,
and deservedly so. Like, I mean, in the first half he wasn't good. He wasn't good. He looked off the pace because of the frantic, animalistic way that Limerick attacked everything. He was off the pace. Mm-hmm. And just in the second half, he got a point, and I thought, well, okay, it's all right maybe to be seen to be trying to lift it. And I was really looking at him thinking, what are you going to do about this? And by God, did he. One of the scores he got, he took a sideline ball, and I think, did he give it to David Burke or was it Johnny Cohn? Threw it back to him. He never moved. He knew what he was doing. He chipped it to his hand. He stood where he was. He took the pass, and it was just sublime. He was brilliant, and he cajoled, and he coerced, and you could clearly see he was trying to drive them. Even when players were down injured, he was going around and getting on to players. It was a phenomenal performance, but you're absolutely correct in that. Outside of that, like from an All-Ireland final point of view, Eamon Cregan always maintained, on a day, you'll have 5 players who'll play brilliantly, 5 who'll play below what they're able, and it's often the 5 guys in between will decide what happens. And you look at All-Ireland champions, and you can't name... You certainly can't name 3. You
David Burke maybe as David well. Fairness him in the first
scored
half.
3 points and he was really good. But
Joseph Cooney, who's been struggling in the forwards, had a pretty good game.
That wasn't totally dumb. Like, one of the key problems for me was Garóg McInerney coming into the game. And I spoke to Tom Helibert this morning. If I was Galway, I'd have been really worried about his level of fitness. And the first goal came off him. The second goal came off him. He had missed out a level of training. I mean, if that's a grade A tear, 3 weeks isn't enough to get you over it, and they were hemorrhaging through the centre, which when he's at full fitness, that doesn't happen to them, you know. And Hanbury was carrying
he was, I thought he wouldn't start, actually,
And the word last night was that there was real question marks about him. You started to think, you look at the bench you say...
But Galway will just look at this, and they look at the amount of unforced errors, and you just said there, like, 2 was from Garóg, and the other then was from Aidan Toohey, you know. Just real basics, like, you know, if you're a defender and you have the ball and you're going back towards your own goal, the simple ball to give is the hand pass back to your keeper, because he has the vision out in front of him. It was like, you know, they were trying to get a turn, beat the forwards, but Limerick's work rate was just phenomenal, and they were smashing them, and they were creating the turnovers.
Hard hits.
They're a physical team. Limerick are a physical team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Limerick were a physical team, and Joe Connor has to take credit for a lot of that, you know, himself as well.
They laid their mark down early. I mean, they ran into tackles. They ran physically into tackles, and they basically sent
Limerick wanted the physicality. Limerick wanted it.
They sent the message out from the first minute. It's an All-Ireland final, and if you're not up for it, you know, that's your problem, but we ain't stopping. They laid the marker down from the first minute and they never relented. And as you say yourself, they still only won it by a point.
Yeah, they did. Like, I don't want to... There's no point in being negative here. And like, Micheál Donoghue won All-Ireland last year. And, I mean, that shouldn't be forgotten either. You know what I mean? And Galway did what...
It gets forgotten very quickly.
And they did. They won All-Ireland last year and they got to another final again this year. And it's not every day Galway are in All-Ireland final either. But some of the decisions this year have just irked me a little bit. I don't know. I thought... putting Garrod out for the warm-up against Clare was a little bit silly. I don't think anybody bought into it. I don't know what they were coming, what they were doing it for. Today, I said it to you about before we came on, I don't think you've seen it, but I just thought it was a sign of a team that just wasn't quite there. There was a point when Aidan Hart was in the forwards, had a broken hurley, kicked the ball in, people will remember, it was actually a really good pass. And he was a minute and a half trying to get a new stick. And he was waving off. He started in the left corner forward down the canal end in the Cusick stand and ended up near the hill in the Hogan stand before he got it. And in frustration, he just threw the two halves of the hurley in, nearly went into the crowd. I got a fright for a second. But for me, there was something off there that wasn't noticed by anyone. And now all Ireland was getting away from them. It was before Conor Whelan just got the goal. So like things were bad. But there has to be a system in place where people do their jobs. And I thought there was just a few little things, and you guys have kind of almost touched on them a little bit there. Like even like if Garrod isn't fit or he hasn't been training, do you play him or do you make the brave call and replace him? And I just wonder, are there question marks there over any of that?
Do you know, one of the things for me, and you could argue that maybe it's not a point, but I just... We were at a do last night in Ace, and Richie Hogan was there, and Cyril Donlan, and I was chatting to the boys. And one of the things that irked me over the last week was the Snapchat photograph after the Clare game with Joe of the can of Red Bull. And I thought to myself, and the only other time that something like that annoyed me was Lara Corbett writing the article when Eamon O'Shea was manager. And I thought to myself, you're writing articles. Jackie Tyrrell and Paul Murphy are home reading this going, this guy's writing articles and we're playing him in a couple of weeks' time. And I remember saying to Nicky English at the time, if Henry Shefflin went to Brian Cody then and said, listen, Irish Independent are giving me a bit of a gig and I'm going to do it, Cody would have said to him, no, you're not. And that would have been the end of it. And I just thought to myself, hold on a second, there's an All-Ireland final to be played here. And the guy's a genius. But I just thought to myself, if I was Micheál Donoghue, and I thought it then, and I still think it, and I don't want to get too much into it because, but it relates to the point that you're making, Mike. I just thought to myself, if I was Micheál Donoghue, I'd have called him aside and I said, right, pal, forget about bringing a towel on with some PR company's name on it. Forget about posting up something directly after the game. This is about us. This is about retaining an All-Ireland title. It's not about the individual. You can do all of that when it's over. But it's like when you lose, questions like this come up, and that's the way the nature of what we're doing and that type of thing. So it's a fair question to ask, Mike.
And in fairness to John Kiely, he set out the stall straight away after that semi-final. He let the media know straight away.
And it annoyed a lot of the media, but you can't argue with it when you win the All-Ireland.
Because they'd been down that road before, in the 90s and in 2007. And they did. The public in Limerick did get carried away. And the hype was there. But even in the last week, okay, it was only in the last couple of days that you could see the hype building in Limerick. Before that, it was really, really, really low key. And I think the general public was taking on the manager's advice on board, like, you know, because they obviously learned from their mistakes. But he made the proper thing. He let out the stall straight after. Straight after the semi-final, let the media know, you know. And look, you don't want to give ammunition to anyone you're playing, especially in All-Ireland final, like, you know, because you'll take everything, you'll read everything, you'll take one small thing, you know, can make you stand up, you know, that little bit too for taller, maybe.
A ravenous team, you don't give any ammunition.
Nothing,
not even the slightest, even if it appears innocuous at the time.
Yeah.
You just keep it in-house, you keep a lid on it, you give nothing away.
It's all just little things that maybe set you up for where you are mentally by the time you're right. Who was your man in the match, Brendan?
A hard enough one to pick. Yeah. Like, if we just hit it there like a while ago. If you look in the Galway side, Joe in the second half, for his second half performance alone, I think he has to be up there. Real leadership, you know, massive leadership. What do you expect of someone like Joe Canning? David Burke had a fine game as well, as we said, Joseph Cooney, but I don't think he's going to go to Galway man anyway. But in the Limerick side, I thought Declan Hannan had a fine game. You know, especially in the first half, got two real, real good points, and he was ably assisted by Damon Burns as well at five. But to me, it would be Kyle Hayes. You know, I thought he really, really went to town on Garrod McInerney. And, you know, you were wondering how Limerick would start. He started well, Limerick started well. But then it was like, will they start the same in the second half? And he banged 3 points in a row just after half time. They actually didn't score too much in the second half. They scored 2-6 in the second half. He had 3 points got, you know, out of that, like, you know. to me, he was the man, and he caught a lot of ball as well. And he's actually a centre back if you think about it. You have two guys who are natural half backs, Garrod Hegarty and Kyle Hayes, playing the half hour line for their ball winning ability, you know. And to me, he was man of the match.
Keane Lynch was very good as well, but I think notable mention must go to Casey.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
I mean,
if he lasted the 70,
it wasn't that ball didn't go in. Ball did go in, but he was an abrasive dog under it.
He was brilliant.
With Johnny Dean.
He was brilliant.
He was absolutely brilliant.
And he did the simple things right, right? It wasn't that he was competing in the air. He was holding him out. He was edging him out so Nicky could get the ball
behind
him. And he did
brilliant.
That about five times. Yeah, yeah. I thought he was super.
Yeah. And there was rumours going around yesterday. We did a show with a massive Limerick crowd in town yesterday. And everyone's like, he could be out, rolled his ankle. And when I saw him out there today, when he went down for that few minutes in the first half, there's tape around his ankle, you know, there might have been something in it. And obviously he went off injured. So if he did that performance on, maybe something similar to what that...
Two boys in the corner.
There's a question for you now, and that's interesting that you raised that. Casey goes down, he is clearly in bother. So he gets back up and you're saying to yourself, right, immediately get Jonathan Glynn off him and get Conor Whelan on him and isolate one-on-one. And bring the other two, bring Conor Cooney out and start and get the boys
directly in low
in front of them. And you're kind of saying, if you're on the money on the sideline, you're picking up on these things.
Yeah, and that's
but
what
they didn't. Johnny Glynn
say.
Goes back in on him. Yeah. And I thought, that's a wrong move.
I didn't have the right examples when I was saying that. I was using the heart thing just kind of annoyed me. But that was the sort of... There were so many balls that was like we were saying with Claire, we're doing it. There was just the same ball into Johnny Glynn the whole time. Whereas there's so many more options in that Galway forward line.
Correct.
One thing even in the first half was the short puck out wasn't working. There's nothing wrong with short puck outs, but if the team is pressing up on you, you're putting yourself under too much pressure. Yeah. Why not hit it 100 yards down? There's going to be more space down there if they're pressing up. And it took Galway 20, 25 minutes to adapt to that. Yeah. They got themselves in a lot of trouble. Anyway, we could talk all night. Would you agree with Hayes as the man of the match?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. And I mean, at the end, he could have ended up with 6-7 from play. Easy. He missed two or three at the very, very end.
Yeah.
But he was more than game all day.
Yeah.
Very, very good player.
He actually had a lovely pass back for Mulcahy's goal as well. Yeah. That was just that on it. Like, I was very close to where that was, and I hadn't seen that ball available.
Yeah.
And that's just a sign of God, that's that little bit of genius.
He's probably nailed down Young Hurler of the Year as well.
Excellent.
You know, after today's performance.
Keane Lynch was very good as well.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, Keane Lynch definitely set a marker earlier in the game. Guys, was it a final Dahi that befit the wonderful hurling season that made us all wax lyrical?
It was, of course. I mean, like, when they said 8 minutes to go, I was surrounded by Limerick people and that. And
more
hurling. Do you know what? there was a lot of Galway people around us had left at that stage. With 10 minutes to go. Had up and left. And when it was 8 minutes, there was nearly groans from the Galway fans that, by the time they're finished with us, it'll be a dozen points. With 4 minutes to go, every single person... We were all on our feet. Mm-hmm. We were standing looking at it. It was an average second half. It was an average second half. It was stop start. And then you get this finish in it. And I looked at the Limerick people around me in the last few minutes. And I just swear to Jesus, my heart was going out to them. I thought, you're going to lose this. And I said to the Limerick guy beside me, if Joe Canning buries the 21, I said, they're going to go on and they're going to do it. You know, and imagine, Lou, you said it. Mm. Imagine if they'd lost that All-Ireland final. You never get over that.
Dahi was having flashbacks in 94. It would have been 94 on steroids.
I turned around to the guy beside me.
I turned around
to the guy beside me when Joe Cooney was landing up, and he looked at me and went, Johnny Dooley. And I went, no, he hits far harder than Johnny Dooley. He's like, oh, God. You know, but I'm glad for Limerick. It's a neutral, for God's sake. The outpouring was just...
Yeah. A wonderful end then, and a new champion as well, which is something that, like, you know, we can't really say we've had... In a while, you know, like, I mean, Waterford are the next ones over the line, maybe, but you know,
Galway last year, of course, was really good.
I suppose,
as well.
I suppose that was since
and these boys are these boys are going to be looking at
that's
it.
What
and
I was
going
to ask.
Talk
next,
about a team coming back next year to say we're millimeters away, because they are, and then you go back in, and Tipper are going to be hungry, and Cork are saying we're not far off it as well.
Yeah.
My God, what a championship
mixture. It's not a flash in the pan, Brendan, is it? Like, I mean, there was, like, 2013 is one of the most amazing years of all time, but the following year we were back to, we had two, Kilkenny were in the next three finals and two of them were against Tip, you know? Does this feel like it really is? We've had Galway-Waterford, then Galway-Limerick, two different champions. Are we kicking on with this for the foreseeable future?
I think so. Is it a flash in the pan for Limerick? I wouldn't be surprised that if Limerick didn't get out of the Munster Championship last, that's the way it is. Yeah. Like, do I think it's going to be Tip and Kilkenny next year in a final? I don't. I think no. There's going to be a serious bounce, and from Tipperary in particular, you know. And I can't see them not getting out of the Munster Championship next year. But it's just been a phenomenal, phenomenal championship. And to me, you know, Limerick are deserving winners. Whoever won that Ireland this year were 100% deserving winners. And like Dahi just said there, for 70 minutes, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get the final that this year deserved. But boy, did we get the finish and that this year deserved. Because, you know, right from the first game, like from the Dublin and the Kilkenny game, right through to tonight, it was just one of those unbelievably epic years. But next year is a new year. You know, you're going to have... I'm so disappointed for Clare right now and being a Clare man, because I really do think that this was a one that we could have had, you know. And I was on the Marty squad after the last game, you know, against Galway, Blow and Turles. And I said to myself, you know, I tipped Limerick straight after the Galway game. Now, I changed my mind in the last 2 weeks. But I was just thinking, the reason I tipped Limerick was because I seen tweaks in the Galway, in the Galway team. But I said, if Clare were there, I could not have seen us lose to Limerick. Mm. You know, I just couldn't, because whatever it is about rivalry and everything else like that, I couldn't in my mind see us losing to Limerick. But and it's one that maybe, in my opinion, being biased and being a Clare man, I think it's one that got away. But hopefully we can get back and get in a run. But this was, you know, for Clare hurling, we made massive strides. Yeah. And you've seen guys like John Conlon having his best year. Jack Brown, who wasn't even on the panel last year, to me, he's right up there. Fine defender has probably Clare's best defender this year. I was delighted for him. And then you've seen Peter Duggan, which in my eyes as well, probably one of the standout moments of the championship was the point against Galway got there, you know. So it's going to be phenomenal. I can't see, you know, the traditionalists in the next couple of years getting to the final, like what happened after 13.
And Cork won't be too far off as well, like, you know, what they had. But, like, I've never known parity like it, because if you look at, we talk about Tip and the other three teams that came out of Munster, Waterford a year off, they're not getting any worse either. They had an off year, but they'll be back again. Kilkenny, we don't know, but that's a young team. And Galway, you're probably looking at seven teams, and it's probably been unfair to Wexford, who are all at a very, very similar level. Yeah.
Mm. Wexford should be better than what they are. I went down to see them play Clare. Wexford are a good side. Wexford a lot of hurlers. In my opinion, Wexford are playing a brand of hurling that's constipated and is actually restricting a really talented bunch of players. I really do. Mm. I think there's too much negativity. I think you've got to throw the shackles off. I think Clare's win against Cork back in 2013, I really thought that was an outstanding Clare side. And I said it to you before, and I've said it regularly. Each year after that, I used to say, right, okay, they had their period of celebration, and the following year, okay, that's understandable, but it'll come back. And it seemed to be a regression. And at the time, I thought Clare need an infusion, not of new players. I thought Clare needed an infusion of new ideas. And the two boys were the boys that were sticking out for me as a sore thumb, that needed to go in, ground the boys, take the shackles off, and hurl the way that they can. And that's what they've done. Mm-hmm. And I think Davy deserves credit for a lot of what he does, without a doubt, and the professionalism he's brought to Wexford. But I think he needs to lose the conservative streak, because we've seen again, it's not the way to win games. Mm-hmm. Limerick play a really good brand of hurling, and they have plenty of players forward, and they play a really smart ball. I actually think Wexford have really good players who are capable of doing that. So they should be in the mix, and they deserve to be in the mix as possible outside contenders, but they just need really...
I think the word, Dahi, is adaptability, right? I don't believe you're going to win an All-Ireland playing one system, or playing the system, with seven defenders, playing a sweeper, if you want to call it, for all the world. I don't think you're going to win games playing it... But you're going to win them with the other team not expecting you're going to play them. And I hate harping back to, but when we did win that All-Ireland in 13, we played two games all year. We played a quarter final with a sweeper. We played a quarter final against Galway. They weren't expecting it. Down in Turles.
Totally, yeah.
Now against Limerick, maybe Limerick were expecting it. But Limerick were lucky not to beat us that day as well with all the whites.
Cork were expecting it, and then it wasn't there.
Cork were expecting it. We didn't play it. Yeah. And people think, oh, Clare won an All-Ireland in 13 playing
Sweden. I heard it yesterday.
You know, we played two games in a full year. We played that system.
And the Galway one was right. Yeah. And the double team, Joe Kenny, and Galway had no clue on the day, and you won it at your ease, pulling up.
We could talk all night, and we could go back in history, and we could find all different winners for every All-Ireland, I suppose, but Limerick are the 2018 All-Ireland champions, and I still think it's an incredible thing to say, and I'm actually delighted for them, well, because they've come from nowhere in 12 months, and it's a remarkable achievement. Congratulations to Limerick, hard luck to Galway. It's been an incredible hurling year. Yeah. Brendan Bugler, Dotty Regan, thanks very much for joining us. And thanks for watching, and thanks very much as well to Centra for sponsoring this and all our hurling coverage over the course of the summer. It's been brilliant. I'm sure there's loads more to come. More hurling to come, as Sherlock Mann told us.
Really enjoyable. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks, Mike.